Let's go to the next one. Today we're going to be learning for the 13th of Shvat, the Tanya. In today's lesson, a man's initial desire for an object is a simple longing for the desired object. It is only once the person begins to think about his desire, how to actualize his desire, does this desire acquire letters. One can thus imagine the insignificance of one letter as related to the soul itself. But the 10 attributes, chachma, bina, das, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and so on, and the emotions, 7 emotions, kindness, severity, compassion, endurance, bonding, humility, and leadership, are the root and source of thought. And before being clothed in the garment of thought, they as yet lack the element of letters. The letters are formed only when one applies his thoughts to a particular idea or a feeling, as explained further. Okay? That's only the thought is actualizing it, a feeling or an intellect into wanting to actualize that into speech or so on and so forth. Since the intellectual and emotional soul powers are so subtle that they cannot be defined even in terms of the spiritual thought letters, they are obviously of an altogether different, more spiritual order than thought, and the spoken word is surely without value in comparison to them. What follows is a description of the process whereby the letters of thought are formed. For example, when a man suddenly becomes conscious of a certain love or desire in his heart, before it has risen from the heart to the brain to meditate on it and ponder it, it has not yet acquired the element of letters. It is only a pure desire and longing for the object of his affection. All the more so, before he began to feel in his heart a craving and desire for that thing, when it was yet confined within the realm of his intellect, chachma, understanding, corresponding to bina. So there's chachma, that's intellect, or understanding, corresponding to bina, and knowledge, das. Meaning that the thing was known to him to be desirable and gratifying, something good and pleasant to attain and to cling to, as, for instance, study a certain discipline or eat some delicacy, then in this state of intellect, intellectual appreciation of the desirable object, before the appreciation has even developed into an emotion, there are certainly no letters present in one's mind. So even when a person has a desire for something, there's no letters. Definitely when a person has intellectual understanding of something that's desirable, for sure no letters. When do the letters begin? So Alter Rebbe explains. Only after the desire and craving have already descended into his heart, in other words, after they have developed into emotions through the stimulus of this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And only after they have ascended once again from the heart back to the brain to think and meditate on how to implement his desire by actually obtaining that food or actually studying that object. It is only at this point when one applies his thoughts to implementing his desire that letters are born in one's mind corresponding to the language of each of the nations who employ these letters when speaking and thinking about everything in the world. In other words, of each of us thinks in his own language. Pure feeling, however, in other words, feeling that has not yet reached the applied implemental state of thought, transcends differences of nation and language since it does not express itself in letters. So it's interesting. Pure speech, pure thought has no letters. Thought that's being applied to implementation, that's where the letters begin. So it goes like this. Starts in the brain, pure intellect, no letters. From the brain, you know that that's a good, let's say, someone tells you, have you ever tried that type of food? So you know in your brain now, okay, you've heard about it, you understand intellectually that it's a good food to try. Try that restaurant, go there. Then from there, it goes to sense to the heart, and you have a palpable feeling of a desire to go to that restaurant. Then you goes kicks it back up to the brain to think in applied thought, in language already, on how you're going to get the car together, or make sure you find directions and all the applied thoughts that relates to getting there and making sure you have the time to get there. And there, that's where language begins. And then the speech is when you take that, articulate those thoughts already that in the applied thought into speech. And of course, action is when you go ahead and do it.
From all this, we understand that the Rebbe's earlier statement that a spoken word is utterly without value in comparison with the soul's intellectual and emotional powers, which are described here for our purposes as the essence of the soul. They're not really the essence of the soul, but relative to the thought, speech, and action, we call them essence. Surely then, the divine word by which God creates and animates all the worlds has no value at all, because again, it's only a form of speech of God, right? 10 utterances, God created the whole world. They have no value next to God, who is truly and absolutely infinite. Thus all the worlds created and sustained by the divine word are as if non-existent from God's perspective, and their presence does not affect any change in his unity. This theme will be further discussed in the following chapter, in chapter number 21. So again, the takeaway is that letters and words are used for articulation, but there are truths that run deeper than even that, even letters, perhaps unexplainable, yet more true. So the idea is that the world created through God's speech is insignificant to the point where it's non-existent and compared to God, just like one word compared to the unlimited ability to speak, unlimited, and then the thought, and then the higher levels, emotion, and raw intellect. And obviously that one word compared to all that is nothing, and that's what this world is, in comparison to God, and that's why there's really nothing but Hashem. And this is going to explain eventually why, if you look at the world in this light, anytime a person expresses ego and violating God's commandment, it's essentially denying the one unity of God, and it's considered like idolatry on a certain level. And therefore, every mitzvah positive is fulfilling the mitzvah of doing God's will, which represents, I believe in God, and staying away from negative sins is, I do not worship idols. And therefore, you should be able to employ the idea that just like I'm ready to die as a Jew, to not be forced into worshiping an idol, I should also be ready to overcome any challenges in my life, to overcome any temptation to do a prohibition or laziness, to fulfill one of the positive commandments. I should be able to overcome them. And of course, that will be revealed and overcome by everyone with the coming of Mashiach now. Amen.